Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Dave's got a girl with him.
Right. Lads, it's time. As Adam died.
Oh, bloody hell.
It's Wednesday, which means it's time for the front three with me, Adam Boltwood, the one and only Dave O'Brien.
Hello, welcome back.
And of course, Lawrence McKenna.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to have you listening to us today. Not much going on today. It is an international week after
all. That is not true at all.
So we are going to do a little Q&A. We've just put out a tweet there on this Wednesday evening asking for your questions. They're flooding in, so we're going to get to them. We also need to announce the winner of the Football Manager competition we announced last week. We asked you to submit your reviews on iTunes. We've had, I mean, they're in the dozens, literally.
No, it was literally one dozen.
One out of 12 of you lucky people is going to win a free copy of Football Manager. But we'll announce that at the end of the show because it's so exciting.
Yeah.
But until then,
how many people have just flicked to the end of the show? And that's all I need. Didn't win the competition. Fuck the rest of the podcast. Goodbye.
Let's get straight into it. We've got a guy here called Danny Zed. That is a cool name. Zezwat on Twitter. It's an interesting question, considering what's going on with Manchester City right now and their recent form. Will Pep Guardiola be able to tactically influence the English game despite its reputation? Dave, what do you reckon? Pep's coming in, widely regarded as the best manager in the world. The English league, not regarded as the best league tactically. Is he going to walk it? Is he going to struggle? What's going to happen?
I think he will walk it, but with a lot of money spent. Again, Manchester City spent so much money last summer and it's just not reaping the rewards that we've seen in previous years. You know, Aguero signing for City pretty much won them the league. So it's going to be interesting, but Guardiola's going to come in. He's going to play his style, his possession game, his positional play. And that is going to massively influence the league, whether it influenced the managers now that will potentially adopt to his style or, in, say, 10 years, we might see some more Pep Guardiolaites coming through. But I feel that it's going to be about who's going to counter Guardiola the best. I feel that's going to how it's going to play out. The Guardiola will go on to, you know, take City to win the Premier League, and whichever team can combat them the best, sort of coming second, maybe, be it Mourinho, be it Conte, be it Jurgen Klopp. But it's going to be interesting to see out of that next bunch who is the best at dealing with Guardiola's Manchester City.
It is an interesting situation that Manchester City are in, isn't it, Lawrence? Because, I mean, we spoke a few weeks ago about how maybe they're set up well for the future. You know, their academy is something they're putting a lot of hope into, and they're hoping to have, I think it's sort of, you know, half of their squad they want to be from the academy within 5 years or something like that. But for the immediate future, as Dave sort of mentioned, their recruitment has been poor for 3-4 years now. Yeah. And they're left with a squad that Guardiola is going to inherit, which is, it's hard to say how many of those is actually would want to keep almost.
I think a lot of people probably regard it as like hitting the reset button, though, don't they? So, you know, if you do that, how often does it really matter what you're resetting, really? Probably matters in terms of maybe what some players will bring with them. Like, you know, if you keep some of the more experienced guys, then you've got people who... I don't know what I mean by they've kept the club, because Man City, they pressed the reset button once when they bought in new owners. Then they pressed the reset button again by buying Robinho. Then they set press the reset button again by doing a number of different things with a number of different players. And so they've had a lot of different reset points, and they've essentially become a different entity to the one that they were even a couple of years ago. So history is essentially on the side of the question here, because you know, when Mourinho came in and Benitez came in, they changed the Premier League, went 4-5-1, or at least it became much more that way. That changed Sir Alex and the way that he played, because he had to counter that style of play very often. I think it does influence things. And I think, you know, the Premier League's already trying to catch up to Europe. So I think they will, you know, obviously everyone's got to play each other. So, you know, if you've got a style where only once you have to play Pep and you get absolutely mauled, then, you know, who cares? But I think he will bring in little bits of change, which basically make a massive difference in the end. But I think it's other managers too. It's not just Pep. There's other managers too.
Oh, no, it's going to be interesting to see, hopefully, Mourinho back, Conte back as well up against Guardiola. But it's that squad, Dave. I find that squad interesting. The amount of money and resources that have been ploughed into it, as it is right now, it doesn't look too... It doesn't look too imposing. I mean, of course, Sergio Aguero is a world-class player. Kevin De Bruyne, Raheem Sterling, great players. But elsewhere around the squad, you sort of wonder, is there anyone there who was worth the money that was spent? I mean, like with Mangala, Nicolas Otamendi, you know, they look, you know, completely lost without Kompany beside them. Kompany himself, is he in many ways coming to the end of his time at City because, you know, he's failing to get over those injuries? Is Guardiola going to change that? Yaya Toure, is his time up? It's interesting to see how they're going to transition into Guardiola. But I feel like they shouldn't be at that point anymore. I mean, Lawrence, you talked there about the reset button. Surely they shouldn't be at a point now where they need to hit the reset button. This should be a much smoother transition into Guardiola.
I don't know. You referenced Lawrence and Dave. So you're going with Lawrence or Dave?
Let's go. Okay. We'll flip it back and forth. Go on, Dave.
Goal! Well, I think the problem that they've got there is that they have this director of football in. They did great things at Barcelona. But you question it, because if the plan was always to bring Guardiola in, wouldn't they have been signing Guardiola-esque players for the last, 3 years?
No, Dave, because if then they'd have missed out on Guardiola, then would they have been up shit creek
without Paddy? They got their face, eh?
But then if you're going for Guardiola, you're going to be going for a manager that plays a similar style of play, right?
Well, maybe not. If you can't get Guardiola, then there's a reason why Guardiola is Guardiola and everyone wanted him. You can't just go for someone who mimics him. Do you know what I mean? You have to
I think there was always a plan to get Guardiola in, right? And that was what they went for, and they've pulled it off.
I think they've done is they've gone, so he's the cherry on the Barcelona-shaped cake. They've taken what they think is a successful model in Barcelona and tried to ape a lot of it. So if they'd have got Guardiola, which they did, but, you know, that's fine how long they got him for, etc. But then that works. But if they don't get him, then they've still got something that they consider to be a successful Barcelona model. So they will not sign Pep-esque players until Pep needs them, because if they sign them too early, then the players might leave. There's problems with that. So you need Pep to be able to attract Pep players, essentially.
Then, for example, the signing of Kevin De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne is not a Pep player for me. No. He's a player that plays on the counter-attack.
Exactly. But they've got the money to jizz up the wall. So what does it matter to them?
Interestingly, I heard, who knows the truth behind it, but I heard that Bayern Munich were trying to sign Kevin De Bruyne last season. Did we not hear that?
Yeah, that was definitely there. But
why do you want to be in there?
It doesn't fit. Like, where would have Kevin De Bruyne fit in that Bayern Munich team? Nowhere.
Well,
it's interesting. It's interesting to wonder who he's actually going to sign. So we've seen in the past week Thiago, that was in the Guardian as well. They're saying that Guardiola wants to bring Thiago over. Also in the Guardian, that Manchester City believe they can bring Messi over. You know, they're in pole position to sign Messi.
I think Man City are a big PR monster. I think they're a massive PR monster, and they are a very publicly owned company with the interest in also bumping up the interest in them and the interest in their investors and all sorts of things. So it makes sense for them to speculate wildly that their company
when they're not doing well.
But it makes sense.
I mean, we've seen it from Manchester United a couple of times this season already. But on a similar theme, we've got a question here from Hamam M, who says, give us your top four for next season. That's a good question. Dave, let's come to you first.
I'm going to go Man City.
Mm-hmm.
Then Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
Then Liverpool.
Yes.
And then Arsenal.
Oh! You almost matched my my choices. I'd swap out Arsenal for Tottenham, of course.
Okay.
But I think I see. Right. City, Tottenham, United, and Liverpool. What do you reckon, Lawrence?
I think I'd probably go there, but I'd switch out either Liverpool and United. Or I think those still be interchangeable.
Wowie.
Yeah. Think about that. Wowie. I mean, the reason is because all four of them have got great managers.
Of course.
Who will all have heavily invested.
J. James Alward. Alward. Thank you for your question. A long-time listener of the podcast. He asks, are we now seeing a transition of power within clubs from manager to director and manager? I think that's a good point. I think a lot of clubs are moving away from a manager having control of every aspect. That's not really a approach that many Premier League clubs seem to be adopting anymore, is it?
I think what we need to do is adjust our terminology, because we're going to the European model, right? We've got a head coach and we've got a director of football, and that's what we're seeing a lot of clubs take that model. So maybe that we shouldn't call managers anymore, like the Fergusons, like the Wengers, that have the full control, and you're coming to someone like Pochettino that's a good coach that has a director of football behind him. I think, like, similar with Manchester United with Mourinho, they're going to have a director of football and Mourinho. Look around the rest of sort of Chelsea, they've got a director of football and they're going to have Conte. City, director of football and Pep. So it's just, I think we're just slowly taking on that European model that's been around in Europe for decades, in a way. Mm. So again, we're slowly adopting a different model. But if a manager, if you can get someone like Sir Alex Ferguson or someone like Wenger that can take everything on board and run the whole thing, then why not? But I feel that that's going to drop out the game a bit, to be honest, and we're going to have more specialised people in those positions.
There does seem to be a certain resistance to that sort of model over here, though, doesn't it, Lawrence? I mean, recently we're looking at Brendan Rodgers and his struggles at Liverpool when he had the infamous transfer committee.
Yeah, but that's different, though, I think, because it goes both ways. If you're going to pick a manager that doesn't fit in with what your committee thinks, then you're shooting yourself in the foot, because your point man doesn't want what your committee wants. So if you have conflicting views on who to sign, and your manager has been told you will be able to sign players who fit your philosophy, and he's written you a 100-page manifesto, then you're doing it wrong. Just because there's a difference between the way the model should work and the way that model works, and practicality—that's the perfect thing about football—is practicality and theory cross over. And I think they get it wrong, and I think that was a lot of the problem with Rodgers, was his practical and his theory didn't always line up.
I agree. I just feel like the press seems to, even now, mistrust that model that a manager doesn't have control over the transfers. Wow, what is this? How can they be blamed for
them? I think it suits them, doesn't it? Because it suits the press to have someone to build up and knock down. It's part of the culture in this part of the world right now.
Of course, they'll flip it. If a manager does have control, they're like, oh, they didn't sign anyone. Yeah, exactly. They completely missed it. Well, that's what
it's easy, it does easy get narrative, isn't it? But at the same time, obviously, you look at go and read Barney Rene's book on the manager and how the managers evolved, where it came from. And I think, the manager hasn't always been like a really high power position. At one point, basically, the term that he uses in the book is that it was the chairman's fag and bum boy. And I mean, that's a direct quote from the book. I think it's a really great book about managers and their evolution and where they've come to now and where they're going.
Another good question here. Well, it's a good observation, I should say, from Harshit Passy. Mm. He said, I can't believe that Lozcast named all those players with alliterative names, but forgot Lucas Leiva.
Yeah. Ugh. And then someone who went on an absolute tear today.
A few days ago we had a guy called the Football Nomad outside the Big Five writing in. He apparently had a 7-hour trip on a megabus, and he was thinking about that alliterative 11, hashtag alliterative 11. He suggested Emmanuel Eboué, of course, Paul Pogba, Zinedine Zidane, Damien Duff, Thomas Tuchel, and on the bench he had Victor Valdez, Didier Deschamps, Didier Drogba. He's done well. I mean, 7 hours to think up 15 or so names is pretty impressive.
Didier Drogba, it's a good one. Yeah.
I think the man that you mentioned, Lawrence, was Simon Says Sup. He went on a bit of a spree today.
Yeah, he went on
and finished it with the biggest hole. That was his last response, which was pretty good.
In goal, you see Jaskalainen. He then tweeted seconds before that saying, "This is ruining my life." He said Mario Mandzukic, Jermaine Genius, John Jensen, Callum Chambers. Who else did he say? Didier Deschamps. Oh, this is a good one. And I was thinking, guys, let's do this. No one else do this on their YouTube channel. I'm watching you. Let's do a video of this because I like Gennaro Gattuso. Now that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Gattuso's a good one, isn't it?
An absolute corker.
Yeah. Go back and listen to the previous podcast and you'll hear us name at least 100 different players with alliterative names.
Here's an interesting observation from Stockton.
Yeah.
At JStockton98. You've got to defend United more on the front three, especially after the derby and the Liverpool result today. I think Jay Stockton also suggested we get Stephen Housen on the podcast, which I think would more than balance it up.
Balance it. And he's more than welcome on as well, Adam.
More than welcome.
Let's extend the hand. I'll reach out
to Stephen Housen
to
get 1 week.
And I'll school him.
He'll school him. another good question here from... Well, again, another observation. Rizab Singh, the Gerser to Liverpool rumour does my head in. We have Coutinho, Firmino and Lallana all vying for the same position. Firmino is useless out wide, so he gets the number 10. Adam Lallana could be a bench option. But then do the other two unnaturally play wide? Dave Roderick and Gerser to Liverpool, the rumour refuses to die. Does it even make sense?
I think it does make sense, but just because I expected Firmino to play a bit wider than he has for Liverpool. He's been playing as a sort of second striker, attacking midfield, drifting everywhere. But that's what where Mario Götze has sort of made his name, playing in behind Lewandowski, sort of combining very well, like being quite fluid in their positioning with Kagawa and Götze. They both sort of interchange their positions. So one would start on the left and one would start at attacking midfield, and there'd be that fluidity that was so, so good. So Mario Götze under Jürgen Klopp is an absolute dream. And if he does go to Liverpool, I'd be pretty upset, but it'd be a good move for his career. Obviously, going to Bayern at that time was so stupid. So, so, so stupid. Before the Champions League final, everything there. You know, he deserves to have a little bit of a lull in his career. But now, hopefully, if he can move to Liverpool, he'll be perfect for the Premier League. You know, a technically gifted player. You know, he played Falstein for Pep for a bit when he was on one of his experiments and did quite well. Obviously, I think he picked up a few injuries and fell out of love from Pep. But I think it'd be really, really good buy for Liverpool.
If he gets some love from Klopp, that would be a good thing. Not everyone at Liverpool is apparently getting love from Klopp right now. So.
Especially Benteke today said in the Times, or was picked up in the Times, that he doesn't know what's going on. Has he done something bad?
I'd be interested to know if that interview was done in English.
It wasn't. So that was with the Football magazine.
So there you go. So a well-translated quote there for headlines. what a surprise. Is it international break this week as well, Dave? What a surprise.
Mm. It's a strange thing. Sometimes he gives interviews away from the club, you know, when he's hiding with his pals.
Yeah.
Lou A. Murad said, "What are your opinions on the Benteke interview and the potential aftermath it will cause?" As you say, Lawrence, it may have the translation, we're not quite sure yet how accurate it is. But it does seem like his time at Liverpool could be at an end this summer.
I don't get why players give interviews like this. If they want to leave a club, then do it respectfully. He doesn't seem like that kind of a player to do that. I can understand his frustration. You know, he's been bought in by a previous manager, then they bring someone else in. Klopp doesn't strike me as a particularly poor man manager. And I think Klopp is also perfectly justified that if he doesn't want to play a player, then don't play him. You're not beholden to play someone just because they cost your club a lot of money. Especially under a previous regime as well. So it's a difficult situation for him. And at the same time, obviously, he's going to the Euros this summer. If he wants to get out the club or he wants to go somewhere else, then put yourself in the window.
It's quite interesting. Again, like Lauren said, the interview's sort of, the headline is just, is like none of what he's actually saying.
Yeah.
So, sensationalist massively. You know, he does talk about, there's one bit that says, you know, I don't understand why Klopp wanted to sign me for Borussia Dortmund and then he gets me at Liverpool and it's not sort of getting on. But I think he finds it weird that he feels that Klopp doesn't believe that he...
Doesn't believe what?
Sorry, my phone. I thought my phone had died and I'd gone off, but
no, right. Sorry, it hasn't. You're fine, Dave.
Mid flow.
He doesn't believe that he.
So I'll jump in there. So he doesn't believe that Klopp thinks that he can press and so forth, but he says that he can press. But it's just quite interesting. It seems that he wants to be more involved at Liverpool. He likes to get the ball and so forth. So it's, you know, the headline obviously makes it sound like he's kicking off, but really he's just talking about his time at Liverpool.
I don't dislike him at Liverpool. I like him as a player. I think Liverpool fans expect that, you know, they never saw him as a particularly sort of Liverpool-esque striker. But in the two games that I've seen him most recently, which are West Ham Live, I actually think he led the line pretty well, like the guy.
Here is an interesting and long question from Nico at Marajes on Twitter. Do you think financial fair play works as it currently stands? Have we seen this season teams like Inter have tried to return to their former glory, but have been somewhat held back by FFP, seeing as they've had to sell some key players like Kovacic and Shaqiri and Hernandez? Does it influence a model of achievement through present resources, or is it keeping the big club bigs and the small clubs small? Very interesting question.
Big clubs big, small clubs small.
Yeah, that is what financial fair play has often been accused of, that you can't. A club like Manchester City, for example, a few years ago had that massive investment. They now wouldn't be able to, that it almost wouldn't be able to happen because they'd never be able to move into that next bracket almost, because you have to obviously create the revenue that sustains your club.
Yep.
So is it again, you know, we've talked about the European Super League a few weeks ago, and there does seem to be this almost desire to sort of close ranks, especially among the elite clubs who are maybe scared that, you know, they're going to be superseded. And even weirdly, this UEFA financial fair play, even though it may have noble intentions, in practice it's difficult to see how it benefits the game in some ways.
Yeah. You know, I mean, rules are there to be updated and changed and those sorts of things. But
I thought you could say broken.
Yeah, I mean, broken in different ways. I mean, if they're updated, it's breaking rule, really, isn't it?
They've sort of kind of relaxed it this season.
They've relaxed it badly.
Kind of a bit under the radar, hasn't it?
Basically, because clubs were complaining about it. And it wasn't, you know, they were worried about their product being damaged. But you care more about your product being damaged. I mean, that's the problem, is if you want to be a lazy marketer, then you're not going to look at your product. You're going to look at your marketing. And if you want to be good at making products, then you'll look at your products and they'll market themselves.
Interesting.
I think that it's not been enforced well at all.
Not at all, no.
You know, you go back to the Manchester City with getting, what, 400 million from Etihad planes out of nowhere when FFP were going to strike down them. PSG putting money into a single hoarding in Paris for £400 million. These things have not been reported on, and these things are quite big. Obviously, when you have money, it's easier to keep the money, right? You know, you'll get accountants and so forth. Well, these big clubs have more resource than the guys that are making the legislation. So at the end of the day, the big clubs are going to win, and they're going to continue to win. But they're going to keep, like you mentioned before, Adam, they're going to keep themselves at the top. And the small guys who, you know, for example, another Man City that pops up, they're going to try and beat them down, aren't they? I think that's how it's going to evolve, unless they do something proper about it and unless they enforce the rules properly.
It's a bit of a quandary. Next up, Charlie Walsh. Assuming the league reverts back to normal next season, which team do you think will be the best of the rest next season?
I suppose.
What does that mean, the best of the rest?
They mean everyone who's not in the top four basically comes along and has a bit of a party, but not enough of a party. Don't know. Who would you go for? I'm going to go... Well, yeah, Arsenal.
Leicester. I reckon Leicester might be the best of the rest next season.
Do you really think?
I don't think they're going to finish in the top four. I think they could sustain.
Everton.
Oof, depends if Martinez is still there. Yes, hey.
I think even if Martinez is still there, I think they're going to invest, and I think they're basically going to bring themselves up the table even further. They're going to find people to complement Lukaku, unless, of course, there's a massive bid for Lukaku over the summer of like 60 million or something ridiculous. I can see that happening, because he's a great option for a club. I mean, Dave, statistically, 22? Dave, statistically, Lukaku's a good pick.
Oh, yeah, he's absolutely cracking. His goal scoring record's ridiculous. What is he? He's one of only five players that have scored 50 Premier League goals below the age of 23. You know, the list of like Robbie Fowler, Owen, Rooney, and Cristiano Ronaldo. So that is no, Cristiano Ronaldo is an absolute lie. I've forgotten the last name.
One of those disappointing instances where Dave can't pull a staff top his head. It happens about 1% of the time.
I think I'm going to go and jump off the balcony, lads. It's over.
At least Dave's got a balcony, though, so at least his stats are paying for something nice.
But no, he's a fantastic player. He has all the attributes to be a really good striker. I criticised him last year for his sort of his touch and some of his passing was very, very poor for Everton, but it seems like he's got a lot more clinical this season. So, you know, Lukaku is a great, great player, and he's destined for great things, whether it be at Real Madrid, Barcelona, one of the Everton super clubs are going to pick him up, PSG.
Everton?
I can't see Everton keeping him even in the summer. I can kind of see someone going in for Everton, for Lukaku, and being 60 mil on the table. There you go, pal.
Yeah,
60 mil. A cool 60 mil. Here's a great question, a serious footballing question from Cameron Falkus. Thank you very much for your question.
Okay.
Favourite song ever?
Ever.
Wow.
Ever
in the history of your life.
The Beatles, Dave. Here Comes the Sun.
You know what I'm going, Lance?
That is If You'll Be My Bodyguard.
Yes, that is it.
What's it called?
It's called
Paul Simon.
It's Paul Simon.
Call me Betty.
Call me out.
Betty, when you call me, you can call me out.
Call me out.
Oh, mate. What a song.
Yeah, you know what? I'll take
Unbelievable.
That. It's a good song. It is a good song.
Dave, unbelievable. You've stolen my favourite song.
Adam, what's yours?
I can't.
Oh, really?
I can't believe it. I literally can't. That's my favourite song.
I thought
you're joking.
I thought yours was Barney the Dinosaur. I love you. You love me.
it's Blurry by Pablo Mud, actually. That's a great song. Great song.
Nice.
I do love John John Denver, Country Road as well. That's probably my second favourite song.
It's all about Bloody Paul Simon and Justin Bieber. Next question. I've sort of got two quick follow ones here for you, Dave, because they're Manchester United themed. First up, please discuss Andrea Berta, in brackets, rumoured appointment, and the need for a sporting director for Manchester United FC.
So, in terms of the need, massively needed, we've seen the failing transfer policy of recent years where we've been spending stupid cash on stupid players that obviously haven't fit in or they've just not worked out. You know, you look at Falcao, you look at Di Maria, the players that are a quality that just haven't sort of fit into the club. And then moving on to the fellow that we're going to pull from Atletico Madrid, this guy has picked up some real good good players in his time there. Hey. He's picked up, you know, you're looking at Aguero, Angel Carrera, who's coming through now, Griezmann moved, obviously. Then you look at like Savic, Carrera, Farasco. Just look at the last window that they had. Was absolutely fantastic. Like, it was a really good window. Bar Jackson Martinez, you'd say they had a really good window. Like, getting Cramvita from River Plate, one of the best young central midfielders. He's just, like, he's a good cheese. I think he's a, you know...
He's at what kind of cheese is he, Dave?
Oh, that's a good point. What cheese would it be?
Cheese. I think he's cottage cheese. He's going to build United a little cottage cheese, Dave.
God, he's classic cottage cheese, isn't he? Yeah. Andrea Berta.
I think he's going to be a Parmesan. No. He's going to be the foundations of something brilliant.
Oh my God.
Actually, no, Parmesan's more shaving Parmesan, something on the top, isn't it?
It adds the toppings, Dave. Ooh. Really, you're looking at something like a creamy
you just
a creamy
sprinkle
sauce.
That.
Yeah.
Maybe like a mozzarella, you know?
Yeah, Dave. He's more like a mozzarella. Yeah.
Key component.
A key component to any good pizza.
And also, Dave, quick fire. Do you see Anthony Martial as a future Ballon d'Or winner?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Brilliant. Mm. Is anyone in real life?
That is answer enough. No. Dan H. Danny Othello. What a great surname. Who do you think will win the Euros this year?
Albania.
It's going to be France.
Do you think?
Actually, no, I've got my doubts about France. I don't know if they've got the mentality to win.
Adam, I'm only asking, do you think France are the Spurs of the Euros?
I mean, the team who are playing the best football playing, in the world.
Playing really nice football, but then that's what I'm saying is, this is why, guys, Albania are going to win it, is because Albania are the Leicester of the Euros, right?
Would England be the Leicester of the Euros?
No, because... No.
Okay, it's an obvious answer, but I'm still going to go with France. I think something's going to carry them over the line. Dave?
I'm going to go with Germany. The basic, obvious choice. Question, yeah, though, to you two gentlemen.
Yeah. Spain.
Ooh. Who is the highest paid coach at the Euros?
I can't answer this because I already know it. Adam, yes. Do you know it?
Yeah, I've got my suspicions.
Yeah. Okay. I mean...
It's Razor Roy Hodgson. Razor Unbelievable, Roy. Eh? Yeah. Unbelievable. Roy. Conte is getting paid less money than Roy Hodgson. Yeah. Martin O'Neill is getting paid less money than Roy Hodgson.
World champion, Jogi Löw, is getting paid less than Roy Hodgson.
It's crazy. Vince, Del Bosque, World Cup, Euros, everything. It's just
the
unbelievable.
Guy wearing three crowns on his head is getting paid less money than Roy Hodgson. Now, all I'm saying is, you're not paying for success with Roy. You're paying for good media management. All right.
We got to the semi-finals of the Europa League one time. Lawrence, who is your pick for the Euros?
I'm going to go Spain.
Oh, I like that choice. Yeah. On a sort of similar theme here, at the boy LS said, who should make up the front three? Great podcast. Fellas, France. This Euro 2016. Ooh. Front attacking.
Griezmann, Martial, and Giroud.
Mm. Ooh, tasty. Dave, do you agree with that?
Yeah. Obviously, Karine has had some issues.
Yeah,
you know,
fucking.
A few issues.
Can't disclose those issues. So, yeah, I quite like that. I like Giroud, Martial and Griezmann. That's decent.
I think
score some goals.
That is diverse. It's fast. And I tell you what, if Martial comes up against Nathaniel Clyne for England, England are done.
What about, though? Curveball, Lacazette through the middle.
Oh, Dave, that is... Dave, I think what you do is when they get tired, you bring on Lacazette as impact.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah. Start with Giroud, start with a big man.
Start with a big man who can knock it down. Like, so, it just works for me.
Oh, yeah. And that's what they've been playing of late, right? That's they've been playing that in, the qualifiers and so forth.
And then imagine Pogba behind that.
Ooh. Oh, and Matuidi, come on, and then Lastiara in the hole, controlling things.
And Dave, I mean, do you want the option of Payet? Yes, please.
Oh, see, they've got a very good squad.
Yeah, I know, but we say the same about Spurs, don't we, Adam?
Harry says...
I would be good if Spurs won it.
One last...
In the lovely questions.
Wait a minute, Adam. Don't speak over Dave.
One last thing, they've also got Ousmane Dembele, who is the young French sensation
in the world.
Mm-hmm. You know, only Zlatan Ibrahimovic has scored more goals in 2016 in Liga than Ousmane Dembele, and this lad has it all.
Ba-bam.
Mind blown.
Ba-bam.
Bam. And he's 18 years old. 10
Dave,
goals.
Where does Dave get all his stats from?
Where does he get all his stats from?
Yeah, just Google, mate.
People want to know.
Just Google.
What Harry wants to know, though, is transparency between clubs and fans over transfer budgets necessary for the progression?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The football, or is it even possible at all, Lawrence?
I think it would be if we change the financial structure of football, right? But I mean, do you what do you think it changes? Do you think that clubs are lying to fans about the transfer budget?
I'm not sure. transfer budgets are necessary.
I think maybe the thing is that clubs, obviously, if you have owners that you trust, then obviously you go, you know what, I trust them with the budget. But if you don't, then you sort of think, oh, like, you know, for instance, Arsenal fans, you know, the most bipolar people in the world when it comes to finances in Wenger, go, you know, you know, 1 minute is like, they don't have the money to spend. You know, Wenger's not at the money. And the next minute is, well, he's had the money. And you're like, they don't know.
How many years has Arsene Wenger had that war chest for now? Seems every March there's that war chest.
Put it this way, Adam, if you had a war chest, would you throw it away or would you keep it in your living room so that when you had guests over, Adam, you could show them your war chest?
Because a war chest, know what a war chest is, to be honest.
It's like a big chest, Adam, with a war in it.
Yeah, it's got and lucky money, apparently. Nico says, let's put this to you, Dave. Do West Ham run the risk of growing too fast, aka stretching the squad too thin, if they make top four?
I'd be more afraid as a West Ham if they made an iron. If they made the Europa League, I think that because the amount of games you've got to play and everything like that, that's more likely to stretch their squad. Obviously, playing the Thursday Sunday every single week is just it's a bit too much in a way. You know, we've seen Liverpool, United, Spurs come unstuck this season after playing on a Thursday night. Obviously, Spurs did very well to sort of give the game to Dortmund and then go and win at the weekend comfortably. But that'd be more of a worry if they got to the Champions League. They could attract better players. More quality and then you're still playing on you've got the Tuesday, Saturday or the Wednesday, Sunday, you're still all right. So I think the Europa League could kill them, but Champions League would be positive for the club in my opinion.
It's a very good point. I mean, you know, you look at Sevilla who have been in the Europa League for a couple of years, you look at a couple of teams who have been in the Champions League for a couple of years and they still struggle to sign big players. But I mean, West Ham are good at cutting certain kinds of deals, but you know, if you're good at cutting certain kinds of deals doesn't mean that you can always go up to the next level. It's the Vardy problem, isn't it? And the point is that consistently we've questioned whether West Ham are growing at the wrong speed, and consistently they've outpaced and outmaneuvered everyone else. So credit to them for what they've done so
far.
They're
in an interesting place, aren't they? Very exciting place.
Well, they're in Wembley. They're in the Olympic Stadium. Adam. It's a very interesting place.
Speaking of war chests, Kieran at Scouting for FIFA.
Ooh, good name.
Lovely little YouTube channel. I'm a big fan of that. He says...
Didn't they do a single speaking of war chests.
Speaking of war chests...
Oh.
Papers have been full of... Wenger has been told by the board he has to spend. If true, realistically, will he spend enough and spend enough to strengthen the positions Arsenal are lacking in to mount, you know, an actual title challenge?
Okay, so he needs, $400 million?
Now, it's the age-old question with Arsenal, and it's not a new question in many ways. Arsenal are lacking in certain areas. Yeah. They never seem to strengthen in those areas. I mean, famously, last summer, Arsenal were the only team, certainly in the English Football League, to not sign an outfield player.
Yeah. Adam, we've spoke about this. They signed that Rene Adler fella from Lyon, bro.
Come on, bro.
I mean,
bloody bro.
He only signed that one, that one outfield player.
Yeah, but they bought a goalkeeper, Adam, to make their unit.
It's true, and look how well it's worked out for them. Do you think?
Ooh, salty much. Money is.
He's won them 15 points, though, hasn't he?
He's won them. He's worth 15 points a season, Adam.
I think, yeah. I think if you look at
where Arsenal cost them 20
this season compared to where they are this season, they're not actually that much better off. But
are they not?
Lawrence, is money the answer? Is money the answer at Arsenal, or are we stuck in this groundhog day where it's going to be always the same until Wenger leaves? No. I feel like that's the situation. Money is not the answer.
Yeah, I think we're in a rock and a hard place at Arsenal. The rock is Wenger. The hard place is Gazidis.
Cool. I think what's interesting about Arsenal, and I've seen spoken a lot about in the last few weeks, Dave, is the fact that, and it comes out every season, the fact that Arsene Wenger is the perfect manager for Stan Kroenke, if that is how you pronounce his name. That, you know, he came out with that quote a few weeks ago again, which sort of flared this all up, that he doesn't believe owning a club is about winning trophies is not about championships. It's about running a successful and stable business. Now, of course, Arsenal fans are very upset by that, but there's almost not that... Wenger doesn't have that pressure, almost doesn't have that that force pushing on him to win championships. It's a very comfortable position they're in at the moment.
How did this guy get to own a football club? he's got a history of stacking debt on sports institutions, you know, NFL, NHL, NBA, whatever. Yeah, he's owning a football club. I'm sure there's a guidelines, is there not, in the FA that go through, hey, let's think about this owner. Come in. Yeah, no, he's fine. He's got the cash, hasn't he? It's just an absolute joke. The
proper person's test is very strict.
Very strict. What was it? Shinan Archer. What was he called? The lad that
Taxing went,
that
was City.
Taxing Shinan Archer. That what? Is now in prison.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. Adam, no, I genuinely think when they look for a fit and proper person, they literally just look for a human. And they go,
oh, you were lying.
Is it a human?
Excellent.
And they go, it's not. Oh, it's not a Terminator. Brilliant. Bring him in. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, shit. It turns out Randy Lerner is a Terminator. A Terminator of dreams.
Ooh. That cuts deep, that.
Shit, that does cut deep, because we're actually all going to miss Aston Villa in the Premier League next season. We are.
I don't know if I'm... I think they're a big club. They're a great club. But I don't know if they... I don't know if I'm going to miss them. I think that's generous.
I'm absolutely
the last few years have entertained me a great deal. I don't feel
Adam,
like...
No, you know, Adam, come on. I mean, I know not this iteration.
They deserve to go down,
but
and that's what I get.
Think about them hopefully a couple of years ago. Come on, think about them. They used to have Darius Vassell up front.
What a legend.
Come on, Adam. And I've got a question for you, Adam. Big question. It's from Pimp Daddy D, who says, Adam... Why do you hate Arsenal so much? Are you jealous?
Ooh, am I jealous? We've got you there, mate.
Jealous, is that what he's trying to say? Yeah. What has he said? Why do I hate Arsenal so much?
Yeah.
First off, I don't hate Arsenal. I actually am not a mindless Spurs fan who just hates Arsenal just because there are our rivals. Obviously, there is a rivalry there, but I feel like, you know, they're... I don't have as much animosity towards them as I would say Chelsea, or even Man United, to be honest. But and I've got a lot of respect for Arsene Wenger as well. Not necessarily jealous, but obviously Arsenal have been way better than us for a long time now, and you just have to accept that. I'm not jealous.
You're not jealous. Just
not jealous.
Just, you know, just wish we had what they had. Nothing. What? Nothing.
I think I like the fact that, in a way, I like the fact that Spurs were really disappointing when I was growing up, and now it feels like we've earned it. Finally, my God, we finally got to this place where we're actually not going to win the league, but we're challenging for the league, and it makes it all the sweeter. You know,
yeah, fuck you, Sol Campbell. Dickhead.
Lads, question.
Yeah.
If we were given a war chest, 400 million with Arsenal in the summer, who are we going for?
I'm going for...
Right, so what do we need first, actually, lads? What do we need?
I'm getting... Dave, if we don't get a war chest, can we make some money from the players that we sell, like, say, Jack Wilshere?
Yeah. Let's get rid of some players first. Who's going then?
First of all, I'm selling.
Are we talking about as if we're managing Arsenal? Just,
I'm selling Wilshere to Stoke for 8 million.
I agree.
I'm happy with that, and Wilshere is well on his way. All right.
Yep.
I'm selling Ramsey.
Ooh, not sure about that, mate.
I'm controversial because I'm bringing in Verratti.
Okay. Well, interesting.
I'm having Verratti, Cazorla in midfield, alongside. I want a destroyer.
You could go for N'Golo Kanté, but I don't know if he'd be. I don't know if he'd be the right destroyer for you.
Yeah, but he is in the French squad though, Dave.
He is.
Yeah, so I mean, he suits what Wenger normally likes.
Okay. All right. So that's our midfield three.
That's we a complete.
Obviously, need a front three.
So there's you, me.
Boltwood.
Boltwood up front. Boltwood. And now I get the feeling that Boltwood would put things wide of the post deliberately because he's playing up front for Arsenal. So I think. Can you imagine that? If Adam was just up front and he was just like deliberately shooing things wide, like this amazing move, and then Adam just skies it.
Shanks it into the
Oh, so close, guys. Never mind. Oh, well, fourth again.
My dedication to my team is absolute. Although. I wouldn't shit on the pitch instead of running off as
right.
we were once asked.
What I will say, Adam, is it is unusual that you just suddenly bring that up. Completely unquestioned.
That was the ultimate question about what was it?
Would you shit on the pitch and score a goal and score a goal, or would you leave the pitch and concede a goal?
That was a great question.
That was probably one of the best questions we've ever had on the podcast.
It was real Sophie's choice.
That was and believe me, Sophie would shit on the pitch.
Oh yeah, she definitely. We've got an insane amount of replies. So let's keep going through these questions, guys, before we have to wrap things up. The main man, John Shin, forgot to answer John's question. So the finest lads in the game, I've been recently seeing Bastian's name pop up on a few flops of 2016-esque articles. Thoughts? For the reported fee in the games he's played with Thier, I wouldn't necessarily label Bastian Schweinsteiger a flops. Perhaps my unconscious bias. Now, I think you have to say when you talk about flops in a season, you talk about bad transfers. It's not necessarily a reflection on the player. The player has done badly. The player hasn't been good enough.
Yeah.
I think you have to take into account that maybe that player was a poor signing in the first place, didn't fit the team or the system or whatever.
Bastian's not that bad.
He hasn't been. I mean, Dave, you can shed some more light on this, but he only cost what was it? 7 million, I think, was the reported fee, something like that.
Yeah, he's had his good games and he's had his bad games. But one big thing that they probably should have looked at before they signed him, I think he's only played like 26 or something games in the last three seasons in the Bundesliga. Mm. He was just very injured.
Well, he's going to miss the rest of this season, isn't he?
No, so 20, I think it was 20 in the last maybe. But yeah, so he's out for the rest of the year. News today that he's that got another knee injury.
That's sad.
It's very sad. So
he's torn the ligament in Germany, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's just... But when he's sort of... You can tell that he still has the quality, but it's the consistent, like he needs to be playing week in, week out, right, to sort of command that position in the team. And if he's just sort of being injured for 4 months and then back for two and injured again, it's, you know, a sad way to say that it might not work out for him at United whoever comes in, are they going to like want Bastian there if he's not going to be a guaranteed starter? But he's a good person to have around the dressing room, but it's a bit, I don't want to see Bastian be that, you know, just an influence in the dressing room. I want to see him playing again.
Yeah, but Dave,
he's a wonderful player.
But so put it this way. So if Bastian isn't fit enough to play however many games a season, then you bought him for other reasons, right? So surely it's good to then have him around the dressing room, which underplays how important an influence like that is around the dressing room, because it's not only, I mean, you know, it's out on the training pitch, it's, you know, teaching young players, you know, the right kind of dedication, all those kind of things, and things that most people outside of a club probably overlook because they're not there on the day to day. So, I mean, it's probably important to have those kind of things. And you also think, you know, Mourinho likes to recycle the ball out of midfield quickly. Essentially, he doesn't like it in the midfield at all. So, Bastian's good distribution and good thought for the game could actually serve him quite well.
No, I think I just going back to the whole like Bastian Schweinsteiger as a legend of football in a way. I'd like to just see him playing week in, week out, which potentially Manchester United's not the right club for him to do that. You know, to play in what, Champions League? No, maybe not. Maybe go back to Germany and play for a club there. But obviously, he's got the buying connection. No, I do think he's definitely brilliant in the dressing room. You don't see his. You always see after the game when he always sort of goes over to Memphis Depay, whether he's had a bad game, whether he's had a good game. It looks like he's a kind of like a father figure to him in a way, which is good, you know, a very positive thing. And yeah, you're right. If Bastian Schweinsteiger's fit for a season, he'd be a brilliant Mourinho central midfielder. But that's the only issue, isn't it? Mourinho likes that consistency of selection. You know, we saw Fabregas and Matic boss the midfield for Chelsea for that title winning season. And then
I'd love to have seen Schweinsteiger at Arsenal, or I mean, then he would have got injured, but I would have loved seeing him at Arsenal or Chelsea. I think he'd be a great influence in either of their midfields. I mean, especially Arsenal's. You look at the structure that they lack without Zola, and it's, you know, I mean, just look at what Schweinsteiger could do there.
Loads.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just trying to answer.
I just got lost in your voice.
Next, very serious question. JB Josh Button, it's the age-old question for At Squawker Dave: Heinz beans or Branston beans?
Ooh.
You see, I'm one of those guys that I kind of like brand sensitive with my sauces. So, you know, like Smarto ketchup. Like, you can't get any other brand than Heinz. And I feel the beans have gone the same way. That you've got to, when you're getting your sauces or like your mayonnaise, don't get the cheap shit. You know, go for the Hellmann's, go for the Heinz, go for the reggae sauce when you want reggae sauce. Do you know what I mean? I do like my sauces, and you've got to be, you know, Coleman's. If you go mustard, you've got to go Coleman's.
Right, okay.
One of these things.
Dave, are you looking for sponsorship from a sauce manufacturer?
I'd love, mate, I absolutely love sauce. Is probably my favourite thing about food, this sauce. It's so good.
Dave, is it really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I've been caught in Peroni and then Branston just...
this is the thing. So I'd go with Heinz beans, but then Branston pickle, what a dream.
Branston pickle.
I love the idea of Dave from now on going on shows with sauce stains on his shirt to deliberately advertise companies.
It's a not so subtle wind.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Dave's just got like a massive splodge of Heinz ketchup, and he's like, and then when someone goes, Dave, what's that on your shirt? He's like, oh, it's just a really tasty Heinz ketchup.
You get it for £2.49 at Tesco's.
But it's cheaper at Asda. I was so engrossed in my food because it tasted so good that I got a little bit lost. Sorry, guys. Anyway, moving on, back to my Heineken.
Peroni, Jesus.
Peroni, Lawrence. We want a deal.
Mandar with three R's on Twitter. Thank you very much for the question. Best fullbacks in the Premier League this season. Let's go with left back first. Now, we're looking at Danny Rose, of course. I think he's probably in the conversation.
Of course we are. We're looking at Alberto Moreno. We're looking at...
Moreno, you're mad, bro.
Yeah, what about... guys, are we looking at Leicester for this? Are we looking
at it's got to be... Fuchs, definitely. He's got to be up there. He's been brilliant.
Are we looking at Luke Shaw?
Signed in Jan as well. At the start. Monreal's definitely... Monreal. Consistently wise, he's there, 100%.
Are we looking at Luke Shaw?
We would have done if he wasn't broken legged.
Dave, how many games did he play before he got injured?
He was quality, I think. Maybe 10.
So there you go. I think and apparently he was quality for every one of those games.
He was so good.
There you go. So I'm going to put him forward.
Oh my God. Man. Luke Shaw to make a stunning return to Manchester United next month. Breaking news. Going.
Not in the team, but probably on the training ground.
What about a right back, guys?
I'm going to put Nathaniel Klein forward.
Nathaniel Klein? Mm. Good shout.
Solid. And especially considering that when Glenn Johnson left Liverpool, he said, no one in that team's going to walk into that position. And you were sort of like, Glenn, are you all right? There's no one in that team that would walk into that right back position. Yes, that's why they let you go, Glenn. Because you got it on lock.
I'm going to throw in Hector Bellerin.
Yeah,
I think that's the obvious one, isn't it?
Why have Arsenal not won the league this season? They've got a team full of players that should win it.
They've got a really good team, actually. Kyle Walker, of course. I mean, you've obviously got
mentioned. Yeah, we can't win them all,
Can't win them all. I'm happy with Bellerin.
Neerom as well. The Watford left-back, right-back was really good at the start, but then probably drifted out, maybe.
Yeah, he has drifted out. And also, I think it's because he's played a couple of other... Not just in one position, has he?
True.
Here's a question for you, Lawrence.
Yeah.
Mohammed, why is LFC so inconsistent? Is it simply the squad and or Klopp experimenting with the side?
Yeah, I do think it's down to experimentation. We saw the other... It wasn't just Skirtle, but Skirtle was a huge reason why Liverpool capitulated the other day. The structure of their back line was... the integrity of it was compromised when he came on. And I think that we will see Skirtle moved on come the end of the season. I think Klopp's trying to find out what these players are capable of. And he's not pushed them to the very limit yet. But, I think there have been some big tests and also some big fails recently. I think, you can't just go to United and win big there, 3-1 on aggregate. You have to get consistency. I think Klopp's looking for that. He's looking for players who will not just perform in just the big games.
Question here from my kind of question, actually, from Miguel Mena.
Great question.
Batman or Superman?
Adam, you've seen the movie tonight. You've seen the movie.
I did.
You're a social media influencer. And what was your
opinion? I think it's safe to say, guys, this movie got savaged in most of the reviews. People really, really going in hard. It's on. I think he's currently on about 39% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is not good. I think it's not as bad as those reviews would have you believe, but it's not a particularly good film either. It's pretty average. It's average, which disappoints me as a huge, big nerd myself. But
do you mean figuratively speaking, or
in many ways, in every way? Yeah, I think Batman or Superman, though. Batman's the better character, most interesting character.
Batman.
Yeah. Dave, who's your choice there?
I'll probably go with Batman as well. He's got all the gear, hasn't he? Superman's an alien. It's a bit unfair.
Who's your favourite superhero, Dave? Not just limited to Batman or Superman.
I don't know, you know, mate. That's a good question.
Adam, do you have a favourite superhero that's not just limited to Batman or Superman?
My favourite is without a doubt Batman.
Yeah,
it's Batman. It's all Batman.
When I heard you ask, I was like, "What's he going to go say, Ant-Man?"
Well, outside of that, it's Captain America, mate. Captain America is a true legend of the comic book game.
Okay, are you big into comic books, Adam?
You know, I used to read them when I was younger, so it's good to see all the movies coming out nowadays. Don't read so many nowadays.
Because you were saying that it does actually. So is it true to the comic books, Adam, or not?
It's a mix of about this film is a mix of it's a mishmash of lots of different comic books, and therefore it doesn't quite work. Because all those comic books maybe had more coherent stories, and this film definitely doesn't. But there you go. Definitely get to see it though. It's all right. It's not as good as the Christian Bale Batman movies. Even though the last one of those was pretty dodgy. The first two were unbelievable. Am I right?
Decent films, mate.
Why not? Here's a good question from Edwin Marr. Can Southampton reach the top four?
One day,
no, not right now. But they've been on a pretty impressive run, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. They went through a really bad spell, and then they changed to a back three. Ronald Koeman saying that he needed another defender. They needed another insurance policy because they just weren't defending very well. And he changed that, and now they've gone on an absolute scintillating run of form. What, a seventh in the Premier League now? I feel that they will get to the Champions League at some point within the next 10 years, 100%, you know, with the way that they run their club. But not yet. Not this season, 100%. I don't think not this season. You know, you've got United, City, West Ham currently above them, along with Spurs, Arsenal and Leicester. So I just think that those clubs are a little bit ahead of Southampton. You could see, you know, if Pella stops scoring again, it's really interesting. Pella, both his seasons in the Premier League, he started really well and finished really well, but he has a really dodgy spell around Christmas time. What do you think he does?
He's on the naughty list, isn't he?
Yeah, maybe he gets potatoes.
I think he has a big roast dinner. He blows out on Christmas Day. It takes him a while to get back into peak condition. We've all been there.
This is true.
Here's a great question from Danny Saldana. Why does the Portuguese League not get the respect it deserves? It's one of Europe's top five leagues, yet doesn't get recognised as such. Now, that's interesting because I only found that out the other day. Squawker Dave's oft mentioned top five European leagues. Portugal is number five.
But I'd say with the Portuguese league, the top three teams, so Benfica, Sporting and Porto, they've only just sort of all become good at the same time, because usually you'll have Porto dominating, Benfica dominating, or, you know, occasionally what in the 90s, Sporting Lisbon had a very good team. But you haven't found them as strong as they have been now, and they are really strong. You look at what's quite interesting, how I sort of look at it this way, is if you compare the top three in Portugal to the top three in Liga with PSG, Monaco and Lyon, you'd say that the Portuguese league would probably come out of that winning 2-1. You know, you'd say PSG would beat Benfica. You'd probably say that Sporting would do Monaco and I reckon Porto would do Lyon. But it's quite interesting to look at it like that. Again, the coefficient for the golden shoe, the top scorer in Europe, is done, and Liga only has a 1.5 multiplier, and the Portuguese has a 2 multiplier, similar to the Premier League, Bundesliga, Serie A, and so forth.
There you go.
Yeah, I like it.
Do you like the multiplier, Dave?
No, I think it's absolute rubbish.
Okay, great.
Multiball. Last couple of questions before we finish up. George O'Callaghan says, how did England get the best out of John Stones? What do you reckon?
Question. I think you put him alongside Chris Smalling, and you tell them to go out there and be brave and don't worry about it. And you put them in between Nathaniel Klein and... Oof. That's tricky because that is a young back line, isn't it? But they could work as a unit. I'd go Danny Rose.
Okay, interesting. Interestingly, Jamie Vardy said in a Football Republic interview last week that Chris Smalling is the toughest player he's played against.
Really? But he also said, Adam, that he liked the classic movies. So I don't really know where we're going with that.
Yeah, Armageddon being the biggest classic he'd come up with. Yeah. Good old Jamie.
Who scored? Obviously, everyone's talking about England at the moment. Who scored and released their team of top-rated English 11 players?
Oh, that's a waste of time.
It's one of the rivals.
Dave, they're completely on brand. Jack Butland, Chris Smalling, Phil Jagielka, the two Spurs right and left backs, Dele Alli, Ross Barkley, Drinkwater, Vardy, Kane, and the only reason I'm reading this list, Troy Deeney.
That's That is 30 seconds of your life you're never going to get back.
That is absolutely true. But then if you think about it in this way, Dave, England is about 90 minutes of your life you're never going to get back after every
game. Oh, that is a good point, Lawrence. You're saving people because they won't have to go and watch England now because Troy Deeney isn't playing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you very much for the ultimate stats agency. Who's scored?
That team's not that offensive, though.
That is pretty offensive to me, Adam.
Yeah, same. I don't like the name.
Are those teams not going to get... Oh, right, okay. I was going to say, are those players not all going to get picked?
You know what? I think a lot of them probably are.
Not necessarily in starting 11, but they're all going to be in the squad.
Doesn't anyone want to see Troy Deeney come to the Euros?
I quite like to see Troy Deeney.
Not particularly.
I like Troy Deeney. Good player.
Yeah.
Final question. Tim says, does Lawrence pluck his eyebrows? Love you guys.
I'll get an errant hair if there is one, but I don't sort of go out of my way to pluck them, no.
So technically, yes. And that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Are you jealous of Arsenal, are you, Adam?
Yeah. Before we go, can I announce the winner of the competition?
Oh, yeah. God, this is so exciting.
Oh, my God.
Football Manager 2016 to give away. We said, go and review the podcast. Our favourite review is going to win that copy.
Now, before we announce it, we just want to make it very clear that Adam was the one that picked this, all right? So if you're furious, at Adam Boltwood on Twitter, let us know, all right?
Him. Yeah. Now, a few very good reviews. Thank you very much for your reviews. Do rate and review the podcast, as always, not only to win free copies of Football Manager, although I'm sure that was a good incentive. The most recent review, AntXAFC. Listen to you guys every week during my economics lecture. I don't know shit about the economy, but at least I know the front three. Very well said. Very well said. I like that one a lot. Another one here from Chris Middlehurst, I should say. He said, just to help Lawrence out, Mario Melchior.
Great review. Great review.
Help us with that one. Do you know what that means?
It's because we were naming players who, they had names with the same letters.
Great review. Said brilliant football analysis with great banter, best podcast around. Thank you very much. We also had Itzy Johnny saying these lads are legends of podcast, highly recommend it, their banter is hilarious. I am the whole
That's good. You see, you did include the hashtag.
Good one here from probably the best podcast in the world, combines the stats of Dave with the ranty Lawrence with that bloke called Adam. Thank you, great podcast. And Dave, are you still an absolute weapon?
Yes, I am. Never going to change.
Never going to change. I love the idea that in a few years' time, Dave changed.
He said, best podcast ever of all time. I don't know why other podcasts even bother.
That is a good one.
But, lads, there's only one winner. And the winner of the Football Manager 2016, drummer,
is Dave O'Brien.
Yay!
It's Adam Baldwin. The guy is a legend. He's an absolute. He's one.
Didn't need to review it. It was just there. The copy's already on his desk at work. It doesn't matter.
It was all an epic ruse. No, it's HaWBSifo. HaWBSifo. Please slide into my DMs to let me know who you are on Twitter. His review was, the title of which was crucial to my living. and their review said, "I need this pod to survive. Please don't stop uploading this. Dave brings the banter. Lawrence brings some pointless politics and economics, along with words like perception and institution, while Adam is the level-headed guy that I wouldn't mind bumping into in a dark alley." Now,
I think that means that like they want to... Yeah.
He wants to bump into me. Dark alley. And for that reason, ha, WB Sifo, you have won a free copy of Football Manager 2016. As I said, slide into my DMs.
Good on you, mate. Good on you.
Get you that free copy. It's the end of the podcast, guys. I mean, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much for listening out there. I hope you enjoyed it this week. A little Q&A to change up in international.
Should we switch it up and do... Should we do news on the weekend?
Yeah, just do news on Saturday before the England. We could do a little England preview.
We could do a little England preview. We could also... come Saturday, will we also cover the fact that Nottingham Forest are going to... boycott the 150th anniversary dinner of the
European Cup. I mean, that is the big news that the people want to know. So
are we going to talk about Matt Le Tissier's thoughts on Wayne Rooney? I'm just reading the front page of the Guardian now. Are we going to talk about Boring? Did you remember anyone else read about the player this week who had an affair with his teammate's wife? And then the headline read,
"Deep.
I'm just following my heart."
Hey, football sex scandals could be a good topic. Until we do discuss all that, where can the good people, where can the whole find you, Dave?
On Twitter, occasionally. On YouTube, sometimes. Dave Talks on YouTube. Squawker Dave on Twitter. Don't need to spell it now, guys. You've got the spelling down to a T.
It's S-Q-U-A-W-K-A-D-A-V-E.
Yes!
I mean, it's not hard.
Lawrence, how do you spell your handle on Twitter?
At LostCast, LOZCAST. How can people find you, though, Adam?
Oh, you go on at Adam Boltwood on Twitter or The Football Republic on YouTube. We're all on there as well, so definitely check us out. Until Saturday,
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have a lovely Thursday and Friday.
Bye!